Kamala did what Kamala always does. She just put her head down and she went to work.
I didn't say that. Somebody else did.
What she always does.
That's Doug Emhoff, the slappity slap, knock up my mistress, second gentle person who said this about Kamala Harris. We have to start Monday. It's election week. It's election eve. Everything is stupid. And so it has to be reflected with how we start the program. How are you? Welcome. Top of the hour to you this Monday. And, here's what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. What we do have coming up today, we're going to talk about a number of things. We're going to get into the battleground states. We're going to talk about the FCC stuff because we got Brendan Carr, who's going to be coming up. To talk about the FCC, you know, the equal time thing that happened over the weekend with Kamala Harris and SNL, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the the latest with the battleground polling and all of that stuff. But I'm not going to, at this point, though, some of the polls that came out over this weekend were just stupid. It's a Rorschach test. And at this point, I just want to trash all of it because nobody knows really what's going to happen Tuesday. And a lot of the trends that people end up talking about in the years after elections are trends that are only discovered through the process of voting at the end of the night. I know it's super helpful, but I'm not going to, everybody else is just jerking your chain. We're not going to do that on the program. So welcome, Dana Loesch here with you at the top of this first hour. It's election eve and it's crazy. And I hope that everyone goes to vote. So it looks, Nate Silver has them tied. The RCP aggregate has them, virtually tied when you look at the margin of error. Silver had said that one of the prognosticators, and obviously this varies from pollster to pollster, but he was saying it looks like a toss-up, but Harris is in the strongest position in their forecast since October 18th. Nobody knows. He doesn't know. Nobody knows. Literally nobody knows. I mean, that's actually like the first sentence that they get into. It's really not. Nobody knows. And a lot of this is depending on a lot of these aggregates, too. What you have to consider is that, again, it's super important whether it's registered or likely voters, all of this other stuff. Bottom line is that it's all speculation until tomorrow. I could sit here and I could go over every single poll with you, over every single survey demo, and it's meaningless. It's absolutely meaningless because every bit of it at this point is all designed to churn voter turnout and last minute, money, all of that stuff. That's all it is. So, I don't want to downplay or insult people's desire to look at polling as an indication of what they can expect election night. But I'm telling you, you shouldn't bet your house on it. At all, because in many instances they are wrong. And then you have these outliers that end up getting a ton of attention and it's for unnecessarily. So this is just to start. That's one of the things we could spend the time doing it, but why? Right. And I feel like, Kane, that's fair because it's just so much of it. And when you have it varying, like there was this poll that came out from, look this up, Iowa. This Iowan poll. And quite frankly, I don't believe that Trump takes a double digit hit and, right before election when he was doing so incredibly well there up until that point. And so that's one of the things I'm just not looking at. There's a couple of others that have such a tiny sample size and it's just so oversampled for it's just dumb. It's dumb. So what you should pay attention to, I think it's interesting to look at for instance, the SNL stuff. Kamala Harris got an invitation to go to Saturday Night Live. She went and she appeared on SNL. It was a last minute thing from what I understand, because she was on her way to Michigan, I believe. She was on her way to Michigan and she gets this last minute invitation to go to SNL. And of course, she's going to take it. She's going to take this. And so she goes and it's right in that sweet spot of equal time per candidates. So it's a federal law that requires equal time. If you are a if you're a broadcaster, you have to afford the opposing candidate, you know, X amount of days before an election equal airtime. And so she does a call. I don't want to play because it's just audio, because we're going to get hit with I would play it for you, the cold open that she did with SNL. But what happens is we'll get hit with a copyright notice, even if it's maliciously on YouTube, and we'll get a strike. And YouTube's trying to take our channel down. So we can't play it for you, even though it's fair use, because you have a bunch of inbred idiots that think that citing somebody's work when it makes the news cycle is somehow a copyright violation when it isn't. And YouTube is trying to demonetize me and ruin my life. So basically, we can't play it for you because we'll get in trouble. And I'd play it on Rumble, but the stream might freeze because I don't think I invest enough. So I don't know. So anyway, I hate all the things. I mean, it's election eve. We've been gearing up to this for like, what, years now. So she goes, she does this on SNL. And what did they give Trump? Like, they, what was it, like football last night? They gave him like a free ad time. So they, is that a fair trade?
I don't think so.
I mean, so they gave him free ad time, I guess, as a way. We're going to talk to Brendan Carr about this. Because I don't, I mean, is that enough to get them out of the jam? That's a, it's a major, and you know that they knew this when they were having Kamala Harris on. You know that they knew. And that this was the folks at SNL that were doing this. Mm-hmm. That were like, hey, we're going to have her on. Doesn't matter. We're just going to bring her on. It was the folks at SNL that were doing this. So you know it was one of those things where we're going to do it first and then apologize after. We're not even going to ask questions. Do it first, apologize after. So they ended up, they gave him, what, 60 additional seconds of what, an ad. And it was on Sunday Night Football. And then he got, what, something that was, the spot had already aired during NASCAR coverage. So it, she appeared on SNL for 1 minute and 30 seconds. So Trump would have to get 90 seconds also of airtime. And I guess that they had asked, or what it was, but they played an ad. He was in, speaking directly to the camera, and he was wearing a MAGA hat. And he had a commercial that aired. Is that the same though? See, I feel like it's not. I don't know if that's, and I don't know who makes that decision that, okay, this is a make good that satisfies the demand. That's what we're going to have Brendan Carr on later on, because I honestly don't know. I don't think it does, because it's a totally different context, totally different audience. Although you could argue, okay, well, the football, you know, Sunday Night Football is going to get way more eyeballs than SNL on a Saturday night, right? That's what it seems like. So I don't know. I don't know that. But we're going to get into all of that as well with Brendan Carr. He's going to be joining us there. But I feel like they're going to get away with it, though. And that makes me angry. I mean, they did it. And then this is just going to be like, OK, well, there it is. It's done. You have it. So it's not just, I feel like, because they're accused of not just trying to put a finger on the scale for the presidential election, but also in Virginia as well, the Senate race, because you have Tim Kaine, who is going up against a Republican in Virginia. So they just decided, you know, we don't care. The FCC, though, I mean, the FCC is dominated by Democrats. So do you think the FCC is going to do anything to NBC over this? I mean, this is the same FCC that allowed George Soros through the Soros Fund to literally bypass federal law and buy up a broadcaster without any kind of security oversight, nothing. So I just feel like maybe the FCC isn't going to do anything because it's Republican or a Democrat dominated. We shall see. Now, the Emerson College, one of the things I will talk about are different electoral, different electoral college maps, because there's a number of ways to play this. A lot of these battleground states, and particularly the blue wall, and when you're looking at Wisconsin, and when you're looking at Michigan, et cetera, when you're looking at Georgia and Arizona, not part of the blue wall, but the Sun Belt, very close. In fact, some of the final surveys has them like tied in a couple states. Harris only leads in, I think, she leads in Michigan by 2 points. And that's that's the biggest lead that she has. And looking at the map, if Pennsylvania ends up going Republican, and you have Georgia that goes Republican, and you have, even if Minnesota stays blue, even with Wisconsin as and Nevada's toss-ups here, I mean, it's so close. A singular state could be the determining factor. I mean, a couple of the maps that I was putting together over the weekend, I mean, if I just flip Pennsylvania one way or the other, that's the difference in, you know, taking the Electoral College and not. And that's why there's so much attention on Pennsylvania. Trump Kamala has 15 events. Kamala Harris has 15 events in Pennsylvania today. Elon Musk is campaigning in Pennsylvania right now for Trump. Trump was there over the weekend. They're registering voters like crazy. But seven battleground states, when you look at Emerson polling, they're all essentially tied in seven battleground states. This all comes down to Republican turnout. All Republican turnout. We got a lot to hit. We're going to get into headlines. We're going to get into the Electoral College stuff. We're also going to get in every aspect of the election and then some of the other issues that are adjacent. I would say election adjacent that we're going to touch on as well. We have the Florida First Lady, and this is obviously one of these, Casey DeSantis is going to be joining us at the bottom of this hour because there's two amendments, we've talked about it, that are hitting Florida right now. You have Amendment 3 and Amendment 4, and they're battling over abortion, and they're battling over big weed. And both of these amendments are horrific, and I keep warning people, they're using Florida. They're testing how far they can push this envelope in Florida. And if they're able to make this happen in Florida, the big money apparatus that is showering all these legislators and these lobbyists and these influencers, even on the right, with cash to push this stuff, they're going to come in your state and replicate the same thing, and they're going to get the same results. So it's incredibly important to talk about this because you need to know this could be happening in your state in just 2 years. You don't even know. That could. I mean, that's how quickly this stuff is spreading. Patriot Mobile, it's the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country. They want to save you money, and I've been proud to partner with them for over a decade. They have Patriot Mobile One phone, one carrier, multiple networks, so you can seamlessly use dual SIM capabilities and manage both personal and business lines on a single device. You get travel-friendly coverage. I've never had an issue when traveling, and you get access to all major networks as well. And they also help bring a lot of action and momentum to very important causes. They were instrumental in helping in our area parents take back the school board from the DEI far-left Marxist activists. And with Patriot Mobile, not only is your money going to protect the things you vote for, but you're actually paying a lot less for your cell phone bill. And that's incredibly important. They have plans for everybody. Doesn't matter the family size, the business size, singles, dinks, whatever. They've got something for you, and you're supporting U.S. jobs because they have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. They make it super easy to switch. Visit PatriotMobile.com or call 972-PATRIOT and get a free month when you use offer code Dana. Don't be fooled by the pretenders. Go to the real thing. PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT for your free month of service today.
The left keeps preaching for equality if Kamala is elected, but is this a dystopian America? The idea that we're all supposed to end up in the exact same place, even after working much harder than they are. That's like a dystopian Kurt Vonnegut novel.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So there's been horrific flooding in Spain, particularly near Valencia, and I think, 200 people, actually over 400 fatalities. They said public anger's been growing. Dramatic footage. How one town escaped the worst of the devastation. And now why is that? Why is one town that's in, this is like in Aragon, the water hurtling down the hillside within just feet of people's houses. But what saved them was a 2,000-year-old Roman dam. Roman engineering. It actually helped to direct the overflowing waters of the dam, and the deluge was diverted down a hillside and away from the town, and residents were protected. And it's crazy video, but they did what it was designed to do. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it, I guess. It's actually wild. Lorraine found this one. Kamala, beloved Asian elephant at the National Zoo, was euthanized after failing health. That's probably like the worst Worst timing I can imagine. The Asian elephant Kamala would raise her trunk to greet keepers in anticipation of getting food. So this is the Smithsonian National Zoo's Asian elephant herd. This was was euthanized. He had osteoarthritis, the elephant. I'm not drawing any parallels at all. What are you talking about? I haven't, nothing. Social crisis. 4 in 10 haven't made new friends in over a year. According to a new survey, it's social isolation. They're saying it didn't stop with the pandemic, and Americans still need human contact. Researchers found that a third of Americans feel that their social life is stuck in a rut. 2,000 adults surveyed who traveled with friends in the past also found that 39%, nearly 40, haven't made a new friend in over a year. I will say that as you age, too, that gets harder. And also, as you age, you realize you don't want to be friends with a lot of people. Are those factors counted? I'm just curious. But they said that 38% said they haven't gone to a party in 6 months. And 59% said they haven't gone to a concert with a friend or been on vacation with them. 59% haven't gone to a concert with a friend in the past year. 44% haven't taken a vacation with any friends. And they said that 58% would not describe their friendships as fun or ever-changing. That's insane. That's crazy. Women's professional baseball is ready for its moment, but it has to find players. And I would say an audience because nobody cares. Moving on. Let's see. This Jay Inslee activates the Washington National Guard ahead of Election Day. Do you really think that they... That's probably for the Antifa people, though, in Washington. I would say this is an Olympia. They announced the National Guard is going to assist in local law enforcement and Washington State Patrol. Of course, they had the occupiers and the Antifa folks up there, so they probably need it because those leftists up there ride over anything. I mean, yeah. And we're going to get into the other Spain stuff because it's a socialist country and they're learning that socialism isn't there when you need it. Coming up, Florida First Lady Casey DeSantis is going to join us. Florida Amendment 4 and 3, they're coming to your state soon. I promise. Stick with us. Tax Network USA. They want to help you out with the government theft agency. There's just no other better way to talk about it. Tax Network USA. It's November, but they want you to be aware that the October 15th deadline is passed. October 15th was last month, so we're in November now. So if you should be prepared for potential consequences if you owe back taxes or have unfiled tax returns. The IRS could intensify enforcement efforts. Tax Network USA has helped taxpayers save over $1 billion in tax debt, and they filed over 10,000 tax returns. They specialize in helping people like you reduce their tax burdens, and they can help you too. Schedule a complimentary consultation. Call 1-800-958-1000 or visit tnusa.com/Dana. They have versatile solutions, whether you owe $10,000 or $10 million, whether it's for personal or business. They have skilled professionals that will secure you the best possible resolution for your tax issues. And if you're able to pay on a fixed income, Tax Network USA has tailored solutions to help you out. Don't wait any longer. Visit tnusa.com/Dana or call 1-800-958-1000 for a free consultation. Their experts will walk you through a few simple questions to see how much you can save. Act now before the IRS takes more aggressive steps. That's tnusa.com/Dana, 1-800-958-1000.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We've had a huge discussion on this program, and by the way, welcome back, Dana Lash with you, over the span of several years, that I think that some people, when they see the issue of marijuana come up on the ballot, they think, oh, must be about freedom and liberty and stuff. I don't know why there is that like relationship. There's like this psychological like disconnect where people see that if weed's on the ballot, then it must be something good. Well, the left has figured out what tricks capital L libertarians, and they're getting really good at this. So they're like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to put weed on the ballot in Florida. They're going to try Florida. They're going to try to blueprint Florida like they did Colorado. We're going to put weed on the ballot, and then we're going to get everyone to come in and vote, and then we're going to write in a new blue wave like they did with Whitmer. That's how Gretchen Whitmer got into office. We're going to put weed on the ballot, and then all the leftists are going to come out and vote, and then ha, 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 guess what? It's going to be actually more about big government and about getting the left to vote and try to undo the gains that Florida has made. This thing is a Trojan horse if ever there was one. And I've read every bit of literature I could. I've read the ballot language. I don't know where anyone gets that this is a good thing for Florida. I am not a pot person, but I loathe big government. And this is not about small government. This is using the veneer of marijuana to seize more rights. And I have to say, I've never seen a governor and first lady of a state be more active in raising the alarm than Governor Ron DeSantis and first lady of Florida, Casey DeSantis, who joins us now via Skype. First lady, it's so good to have you. And you've done such an amazing job in exactly as I said, sounding the alarm on this, because it's a big government maneuver. It's really not about marijuana. And then, of course, we got to talk about the abortion amendment as well. But this, to start off with, is not at all about marijuana. This is big government.
No, and I say, don't California my Florida. I mean, that's exactly what they're trying to import into the free state of Florida. And then they say that this is about freedom. This is not about freedom. This is about one mega weed cartel, corporate cartel, that basically wants to hijack our constitutional process to give themselves revenue in perpetuity. Because they say it's about freedom. You can go and smoke wherever you want, whatever, but only if you use the corporate cartel's product. Can't use anything else. Can't grow it in your home. That's illegal. And they also, Dana, gave themselves liability protections for every part of the process, civil and criminal. So if you're using their product and you get sick, or let's say you get hit by one of their trucks, they've covered themselves. So it's not about freedom. This is about usurping the legislature to hijack the constitutional system for money, because they've invested $140 million into getting themselves into our state constitution.
That's just wild. And they, of course, is Trulieve, which is a Canadian company, as I understand it. It's a foreign company that's coming and writing law in Florida. I don't know how anyone would tolerate that. And I get that they're also paying off a lot of people. I know that there's a lot of donations, even going to some influencers on the right, which boggles the mind. That's another issue. But you have a foreign company that is coming in writing state law. We're going to have FCC chairman or commissioner Brennan Carr coming up talking about some of the FCC stuff. The last time I had him on, First Lady, was when the Soros Fund bought Odyssey. You can't have a foreign entity purchase a broadcasting group without going through a process. But yet you can have a foreign company come in and write state law, pay people to advocate for it, and then actually try to get it passed on the ballot in the United States as what's happening in Florida.
Yeah, I mean, and then if you look at the language that's on the ballot, this never should have been on the ballot because it's very deceptive in the summary. You have to go to the actual constitutional amendment on the Secretary of State's website to read what really is in it. And that's when you figure out that they've given themselves blanket liability protections. So the process is flawed. And listen, if this company can spend $140 million because they want a return on their investment, what is going to stop some other corporation like Big Pharma or someone else to come in to hijack the system and not go through the legislative process because they can spew a lot of false narratives about how great all of this stuff is? They ignore all of the truths and all of the ramifications where this has been legalized recreationally in other states. They cherry pick, they give you half truths, they spew false narratives, then they get this ballot summary that doesn't give you the full, then they get it, they write the amendment, they get it passed, and then the legislature cannot do anything to undo what was done in that constitutional amendment. The other part I didn't talk about this was the unlimited public use. There's no regulations on public use. So if you're at a playground or a park or a church or a mall or you're on the beach, law enforcement wouldn't be able to do anything to stop it. The legislature wouldn't be able to do anything to stop it. So it's a really egregious hijacking of our constitutional system. And the precedent that it sends should be very concerning for all Floridians.
We're talking to Florida First Lady Casey DeSantis, and we've got a couple of amendments to talk about. I was looking at a couple of different sources, including the Cato Institute, because it always seems to be the argument is, well, this is going to get rid of the black market if we pass, you know, if we pass something like this with marijuana, it's going to get rid of the black market. Except that's never happened in any of the states in which this has passed. Not Colorado. They were the first state to do it, and they're dealing with a larger black market than they ever had before. California, in fact, they have nearly 6 million gallons of water stolen by illegal growers operating outside of that promised regulation every single day. 80% of all of their sales go through the black market. Massachusetts is 70%. Nevada is getting up there as well. Why do they think Florida is going to be different?
Well, and so here's the thing. They say that our product is safe, right? But then they gave themselves criminal and civil liability protections. But you're 100% right. Everywhere that this has been tried and where it has failed, it ultimately leads to a black market. And why? When you have a product and you regulate it and you presumably tax it, the price goes up. The black market, of course, is going to come in and undercut that price. But do you think the black market cares about cleanliness, that they care about this stuff not being tainted, that they're, the place where they're, you know, creating it or grow it is going to be sanitary? No, like, we're having problems with fentanyl coming across the southern border. This is going to be extremely problematic. So when they say, too, and they'll spew these false narratives, like, oh, all of this money that we generate in revenue is going to go to education and law enforcement, nowhere in this constitutional amendment does it say that any of the money that's going to be regulated. And then I have law enforcement telling me that in California, they're actually, as you mentioned, looking for a bailout for recreational marijuana because they can't keep their prices where they are with the market coming in, the black market undercutting it.
I liked what your husband, the governor of Florida, had said, that even if marijuana is your thing, this is not the way to go about it. It's just a variable.
Yeah, we have a regulated medical marijuana market currently in Florida.
You drive down the street, that law.
You can see the storefronts. You know, right. So we have 900,000, I think, medical marijuana cards that have been issued. So, and I don't hear a lot of people complaining about not being able to get one. So if that's your jive, like, go for it. It's fine. Honestly, the governor says the chutzpah of this one company to think they can chisel out revenue for themselves in perpetuity and taking over the constitutional system is so problematic. And I haven't even talked about, and this is a big conversation as a mom, I mean, the ramifications of what this means for our kids and even people who are older who are smoking. This stuff, the THC that's in it is like 30 times more potent than what we saw in the 1960s and 70s. And kids are getting it. People are, car crashes, they've gone up and everywhere that recreational marijuana has been legalized. So when you look at it, can you really look at anybody straight in the face and say that this is really great for our children and the well-being of society? No, in a way that this is written, no.
The other amendment that you all are all, you had like 1-2 right out of the gate. You guys are now also dealing, this was Amendment 3, this is now Amendment 4, and this is the abortion amendment for the state of Florida. And this is wild because it removes parental involvement. I mean, when you take out parental consent and then you say, well, we'll notify them later. Well, what happens if a crime was committed? So now the state is then abetting a potential criminal in hiding an injustice done to someone who is minor, and they're coming in to get an abortion and the parents only get a notification after the fact. I mean, that's wild. And this is also a stepping stone. The way I understood the language, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that this is leading to Floridian taxpayer funded abortion on demand, and it can go all the way up into the ninth month. This is what this is opening the door to. This is Ralph Northam's proposal on steroids in Florida with Amendment 4.
This is the most extreme abortion constitutional amendment anywhere in the country, and I would say on par with probably 9 countries around the world, like China and Korea. And you're right, it is 2 sentences. It's loose language, no definitions, very deceptive. And yes, when you look at it, because they don't define what viability means, it could be up until the moment of birth. And it also gives themselves a loophole, as it says, as deemed necessary by a healthcare provider. So what it does is it takes the doctor out of the equation. So who is a healthcare provider? Is that a tech making the determination for, again, a child who under this, you don't have parental consent? It removes that and it puts in the language notification. So you're right. What about child sex trafficking, where you would have these Planned Parenthoods popping up in an airport and a child would be coming in to get a abortion up until the moment of birth, when a baby is capable of feeling pain, when you would do dismemberment abortions? It wouldn't be provided under this language by a doctor. It removes the doctor and puts in healthcare provider, and would be the only procedure that a minor could undergo in the state of Florida without the consent of a parent.
This should
terrify a lot of people. And again, it's a constitutional amendment. It cannot be undone by the legislature.
That's a huge point that I don't think enough people appreciate, especially when you're codifying parental consent and parental involvement and you make that a constitutional issue. You can't fight that. Once that door's been opened, that's it. You cannot fight it.
Yeah, no, it's done. And so, I mean, and it's really, when you look at the last, it's so slippery in their language when they say, you know, this does not change the legislature's constitutional authority to require notification to a parent or a guardian. I mean, they pull to, and the problem is like when you first look at it first glance, it might come across, right, as being pro-life. This is the antithesis of pro-life. This is as radical and extreme as an amendment can come. And you're right. It just it can't be undone.
And it's not by accident or just by chance that they decided to push this in Florida now. I mean, this because Florida has been the red state model for the nation. When people look and when they try to find a pathway forward for what small government, what conservatism looks like, you know, at that wide level, everybody looks to Florida and they look at, you know, your husband's administration and everything you both have done there. It seems like this is a way to challenge that and try to push back on everything that Florida has achieved in the past several years.
Yeah, well, they've lost on every issue. And so they're trying to figure out how can they regain ground in the state of Florida. When you looked at when the governor was first elected in 2018, there were 300,000 more registered Democrats than Republicans. And you fast forward to today, there are over 1 million more registered Republicans than Democrats. And so when they use this constitutional system to bypass the legislature where they have super majorities, they're trying to pass an agenda. And when you look at something like three, which again, funded by one mega weed corporation, you look at what this would mean and some of the folks that it would import into the state of Florida. So there are no currently amendments or recreational laws on the books in the Southeast. So people would be coming here and they might not be sympathetic to parental rights and education. And that might not be where, you know, their heart lies as far as where they vote. And so if you're importing some of this, how does that change the state of Florida going forward? You know, we're doing really good as a state. I mean, our economy, despite some headwinds with inflation and the cost of goods on the federal government side, we're number one K through 12 education, number one higher education. We have a 50-year crime low. We've invested billions of dollars into preserving land and to clean the water, and we're doing so good. You know, these amendments would be extremely problematic for the state of Florida. And I think the more Floridians know the truth about this, they're going to vote no. They just need to be told the truth of what this really means.
And maybe some of the lawmakers that have kind of dragged their feet, and I know that they kind of make a headache for the very limited government administration that you all are leading there in Florida. Maybe some of those lawmakers that have been dragging their feet, maybe there's a better way, like for Amendment 3, if people want to go about it, maybe there's a better way for state lawmakers to work with people and work with the governor on that. But this is definitely not the way to do it. First Lady.
He didn't want to do it. Yep.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
You guys have done such an amazing job. And like I said, I've never seen anybody at the ground level do what you and your husband have done to make voters aware. And I think that should also be a model for other governors in other states to follow. Thank you so much for what you do. Appreciate it. Good to see you.
Thank you, Dana.
We have more to come as we roll towards the conclusion of this first hour. And we have a lot to hit, including not just the FCC and the equal time, but what happens after Tuesday with a lot of stuff as it relates to broadcasting, as it relates to airwaves, as it relates to the Democrat-dominated FCC. We're going to talk to Brennan Carr about all of that coming up. Life can take a toll on our bodies. There's no way around it. And whether it's just sitting for hours on end at your computer or if you're working a physical job, over time, your body pays the price. There is, however, an effective way to turn back the clock on pain. Relief Factor. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor helps support your body's response to inflammation. And the difference, instead of just masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it for good, and it's 100% drug-free. My husband Chris has taken Relief Factor with incredible results. So if the pains that come with living a full life are affecting you, do as many others have done and turn back the clock on pain with Relief Factor. Their three-week quick start is just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. And when you feel good, it's amazing how much more you get out of life. Visit relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Try it for only $19.95 and turn back the clock on pain with Relief Factor. Relieffactor.com.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
saw this. This was a video. Someone's trying to vote for Trump on the touch screen, like the ballot machines. And then it first it wouldn't register. Then it kicked it over to Harris. And they ended up having to like deal with the guys. I think he had to get like a new ballot and all this other stuff. And a lot of you got to pay very close attention. Now, I think some of it is any touch screen, I think you're going to have sometimes where it's a glitch. However, it's not my problem or your problem that the government has engaged in so many shenanigans over the years that we all think everything is a conspiracy. We didn't do that to us. They did. So don't get mad now and act like, well, we're really sorry all those years that we did that to you. You know, where we were tagging you guys as domestic terrorists because you spoke up in your children's school board meetings, or when we called you terrorists because you just wanted to enjoy your Second Amendment rights, or when we said that you were racist and terrorist because you just wanted to have an intact border, all those things. I mean, I could go on and on. What about when they were suppressing the laptop story and you had all of these intel people, sign a letter lying about it, and they knew that they were. So forgive me if maybe I'm like, is it a glitch? I can't help it. Neither can you. I feel like that. What was that late 80s, 90s commercial where the guy finds drugs in his kid's backpack and he goes into the kid's room and he's like, where'd you get this? And the kid's like, I learned it by watching you. Who knew how prophetic that would be? So coming up, we got a lot to get into, including I wanted to touch on in a separate conversation because we're going to talk about all the voting stuff and things to look out for. But do you know that big company that's behind the Amendment 3 in Florida? Do you know that they've actually been investigated by the FBI and that the CEO's husband like got sentenced for extortion and conspiring to push out competitors in other states? Like all of the people pushing this stuff are not talking about it. So we're going to dive into that here coming up as well. We have a lot to touch on. Second hour, Election Eve on the way. Stick with us. Everybody else's coffee is just heinous. Black Rifle Coffee has the absolute best beans, the best roasts, the best flavor profiles that's out there. And it's so good and it's so affordable. You're getting really good, the world's best coffee. And you're getting it at an affordable price because they understand that this is a veteran owned, veteran founded, veteran run and active duty. They got some active duty there too, company. And everything that they do is a tribute to those who fought for our nation. Now, right now at blackriflecoffee.com, they have their Freedom Roast, which is smooth, full of flavor. You can save 20% on the Freedom Roast with code Dana, only at Black Rifle Coffee. And when you subscribe to the coffee club, you get free shipping and automated orders. You pick the roast you want or roasts, how often you want it, and it ships free shipping right to your doorstep. So you are always enjoying the convenience of having your favorite coffee on hand without having to do a last minute run to the store to get coffee that morning. And again, they're dedicated to their mission of supporting veteran and first responder causes. This is premium coffee, whole bean, K-cup, ready to drink, and you can also get apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, and more. So get your freedom on with the Freedom Roast from BlackRifleCoffee.com and enjoy other top shelf roasts as well, like the Just Black, the Silencer Smooth. Whatever you decide, you're going to get 20% off using code Dana, only at BlackRifleCoffee.com.
But I'm serious. These are the kind of guys you like to smack in the ass.
What? Why did he say it like that? Why did he say it like he was gnawing some beef jerky? That's Joe Biden who's talking about MAGA Republican. I mean, he's talking about that MAGA ass. I'm just saying, you know, welcome. I didn't say it. Somebody else did. I didn't say this. It wasn't me. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, top of the second hour. Just saying, real quick note on the video that we were showing where the guy was trying to press. Lorraine says that it was because the guy was doing the touch screen wrong, that you're supposed to check on the box, that you're supposed to click the name, not the box. I don't know.
It's still highlighted Kamala.
Yeah, it's still highlighted Kamala, though. So I don't know. But just pay attention to the signage and watch your ballots. So again, welcome. You're listening probably either across the country or maybe you're watching us on Channel 347 DirecTV. And make sure you find us on Substack, Chapter and Verse. I've got a couple of different electoral maps that I'm like, I had five and I whittled it down to four. And now I keep reducing it. And a lot of this, too, is as we get more and more information about early voting and who's going out in early voting, because apparently Kamala Harris's people, they seem to they seem to be incredibly nervous that she is not doing as well with early voting as was originally expected, which would be groundbreaking, actually, because Democrats have always really dominated that, dominated early voting. And now it doesn't seem, I don't know, that's going to be, because if they're banking on everything happening in Election Day, that means that they're not going to have the turnout that they want. It's just not going to happen. It really is not going to happen. So this is fascinating to watch all of this come into play. Now, as I've said, with some of the, I'm not going to go through every single bit of polling because some of it's just such garbage. All you need to know is that it is close. I don't believe the one, the Iowa poll, and I had it pulled up here, where it was trying to say that all of a sudden Harris was surging in Iowa, whatever that meant, like what, that was nonsense. Someone was drunk when they put that together. So we will, and they are still running with the women, you can vote for Harris. We talked about that last week. That's a big thing. There was an editorial which came out today. It said, there are meet the conservative women who are keeping their votes for Harris a secret. Well, that's not really, then they're not a secret then if you're meeting them, right? So insane. It's just insane. So in Pennsylvania, all is going out in Pennsylvania. And they're, I mean, that's like the state that I'm, that looks like that's the state where that's going to determine almost, I mean, pretty much almost everything. You have your battlegrounds in Georgia, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona. You got Minnesota, although Minnesota still lean Dem. Harris is up by five. I think she's going to take Minnesota. I don't think that's going to be an issue. In New Hampshire, that's wild that it's 46 to 50 in New Hampshire. I mean, that's the vice, that's the president. She's the vice president. That's the president's state. Ooh. Virginia, the spread 44 to 49, Trump to Harris. She's got a 5 point, almost 6 point. This is according to some of the RCP averages. And in Pennsylvania, Trump is only up 0.3, well within the margin of error. So yeah, it's, we'll see this is going to be close. It's going to be a nail biter. It's going to be close, and I think it'll probably be determined early. I know a lot of people are saying, be prepared. It could go all night. First off, I think you should be publicly dragged out of office and spanked if that happens. And you didn't facilitate a faster way of counting ballots, number one. But number two, I don't believe that. I think that that's just said to frustrate people. I don't think it's going to be that at all. I think we're going to know, particularly as it comes in with Michigan and Pennsylvania. And as Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Georgia come in, and North Carolina come in, and when we see some of these more battleground counties in these states, when we see those numbers come in, I think that that's going to be indicative of other states, that other battleground states, and I think that it's going to, I think it'll be determined kind of early. That's me. But in the meantime, you still have in the red Biden and Harris in terms of approval. I mean, with all of the discussion with election, people have not lost. They have not lost the focus on the economy. I mean, that's the whole reason why people are out there doing what they're doing. That's it. So they're out there. They're campaigning, and we've got people going. All the early voting has been tied up, and now we're at election eve. Do you think it's going to be tied up early, or do you think I'm being kind of? I'm not being optimistic. I feel like I'm being very practical. But what is your? Do you think that Kane, that this is going to be something that gets wrapped up somewhat early?
I would like to believe that, but because of the last couple of weeks, we've seen the Secretary of States of different states talk about how their counting may take several days. I think they were sort of just preempting what they know they're going to do in the day of. And I can only suspect that fraud will be the case, but we shouldn't need several days.
No, we shouldn't. It's insane that we would have to have several days to count. That's inexcusable. But I mean, I sometimes wonder if they were doing that just to cover their backsides. I don't know. Are they covering themselves just in the event that there's a hiccup, or are they expecting some, I don't know. But I think, like I said, I do think that this is going to be ultimately decided relatively early. Now, in the meantime, we've got coming up, we're going to be talking with, we have Stephen Yates later on today because I got a couple things for him. We're going to be talking to Brennan Carr, FCC commissioner, on the SNL thing. And I'm actually very interested in hearing what the FCC is going to look like if there is a Democrat administration. I mean, it's dominated by Democrats now, but I also feel like Democrats are trying to do everything that they can to bring back, you know, the fairness doctrine, and but not just apply it to broadcasts like airwaves. I think that they want to apply it to all digital communications. And that's one of the things when they keep talking about the section of the was it three? Can't even think of it now. Section 180 of the Communications Decency Act. Excuse me.
Is it 230?
230. Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. Yeah. Everything that they propose with that is just smacks of like a reconstituted fairness doctrine, except for digital from broadcast. And we're going to dive into that a little bit with Brendan Carswell. What does it look like post election? It's just because I think going into this, everybody kind of had an idea. Like I kind of had an idea back in 2012 with Romney and Obama. I was like, Romney's not going to do this. He's not going to take this out. And I knew like in the first hour that it was over. Right when I saw Florida come in and Florida went hardcore blue, knew in the first hour it was done. And it was a lot closer. I think in 2020, we knew pretty early on. In 2016, we knew pretty early on. I was in New York when that happened. And I was in the Fox studio. And as soon as they got enough of they started reducing the amount of analysts that they needed to be on set. So there were waves of us. You'd see some people be dismissed and then the next wave and you knew they're settled. They're settled at this point and they're going to start pivoting coverage. So I think we're going to know, like I said, pretty early on. A couple of other things I want to touch on that are somewhat related to the election, as in, are you going to vote for more of this or less of this? Can we talk about that squirrel? Can we, though? So did you guys hear about this squirrel that... Yeah, I'm getting to it. It's Peanut the Squirrel. And Peanut the Squirrel, he lived in New York with his person, his owner, right? And this guy had gotten this, rescued the squirrel. It was like abandoned, I guess, like when it was a baby. And he gotten this squirrel and like raised it. I was trying to think of a different word. He'd raised this squirrel from infancy, and it had its own Instagram account. It was social media famous and all of this stuff. And anyway, somebody snitched on him. This little orphan squirrel that was raised, it had its own cowboy hat. Someone snitched on him, and the state came in, took it, and euthanized it, which is insane. It's not like he captured an adult rabid squirrel. It was a baby squirrel that had been orphaned and he rescued it. And then with the squirrel's social media account, he actually raised money for animal rescues and apparently was doing a rescue, was starting a rescue of his own. And it was euthanized. They seized it. They raided the guy's house. And seized it and euthanized it. Someone snitched. And they said that, well, one of the authorities, as we raided it, the squirrel bit the authority. You mean the guy who was busting up into the guy's house and then seizing the animals? One of the animals bit the guy who was doing it? Yeah, I would too. I'm not even an animal and I would bite you. So I don't know what common good that served. But that was one of the most ridiculous overreaches of government. They Elian Gonzalez the squirrel, man. Remember that whole story when Janet Reno sent the feds in, and there's that infamous photo of Elian Gonzalez being held by his uncle in Florida, and there's a guy raiding the house, and he's got a gun pointed right at the kid. They found him hiding in a closet. Yeah, the commissioner. The commissioner of the Environmental Conservation Department, he locked his account down, his social media account. And they came in without a search warrant. The mother squirrel was hit by a car. And so then they busted up and took the squirrel and euthanized it. Now, you might think, well, what is that? Who cares? Like, what does it matter if they busted up? Because someone snitched. The squirrel was a pet. It was completely docile. It had been domesticated from infancy. And there, what greater good is being served by using, abusing government resources and government authority this way? There is no great, nobody can point to a greater good that's been served. This is government overreach. One of the things that I was reading that Twitchy reminded me of, you guys remember during the early stages of lockdown when they were euthanizing animals? Remember all that? Oh, I guess nobody does anymore. Nobody remembers that. Like, I mean, there were a number of stories, particularly in like Europe and elsewhere, where they were going in and during, I mean, you remember seeing all the stuff in China where they were going in when people were taken and they were put into quarantine and they were going and euthanizing their animals. And it was like caught on video. It was wild. This is about big government is what it's about. It's about government overreach. And if you think that the same government that can bust up into someone's house and seize their squirrel and euthanize it, if you don't think that they would go after you for something far less, I mean, you're crazy. I mean, it's just amazing to me that this amount of resource was used to go after this guy and his squirrel. This is just like part of it. I mean, they always think that whenever governments exercise this kind of power in such an abusive manner, they always pretend that it's for some great good, but they never actually define what good that is or how that good is being best served with this action. That's the part that's always conveniently omitted from any of this. Who was the moral busybody that decided to get in and snitch like this? And now that he's got this squirrel. Someone was saying that, I don't know if it was true. They were like, oh, well, he's a gay porn star and he's got an OnlyFans account. So because he's gay, we should kill a squirrel. Because he's a gay porn star on OnlyFans, it means we should kill a squirrel. What does that have to do with anything? I mean, if we're going to go out and start taking people's private property and euthanizing animals because of different variables that you dislike, I mean, don't ever put me in charge of anything. Oh, my gosh. It's just wild. But that's what this is. This is just big government. Yeah, it was in House Cat. It was House Cats that they did this in the UK. They debated in the UK. They actually debated euthanizing pet cats to help flatten the curve during COVID. I'm not even a cat person. I find that horrifying. So a 7-year-old squirrel, he was on social media and they raised money for animal rescues. Big government.
Hi, I'm Lillian, an English major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arnn with a Constitution Minute.
America's founders believed in a separation of church and state, in that the country was not to have an official religion or an official sect. But that did not mean that government was to be hostile to religion or even indifferent to religion, as many today argue. In fact, America's founding document, the Declaration of Independence, includes both a reference to God as the author of the laws of nature and a confident assertion that human beings are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Far from being hostile or indifferent to religion, America's founders understood the theology of the Declaration to be an essential part of the education of citizens.
To learn more and get a free pocket constitution, visit constitutionminute.com.
This Constitution Minute was furnished by Hillsdale College.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I told Kane that when I grow up, I want to be a viral baby hippo like Mudang. So Mudang, that viral baby hippo in Thailand, they gave her and her mom two cakes. And then there's like a fruit cake. And she picked the Trump one. So they said Mudang has predicted that Trump will win. The viral baby hippo, I'm just saying. Quincy Jones has passed away at age 91. This guy is an absolute legend. And he has, I don't know if you've ever seen any of the interviews that he's given. They're pretty amazing. But he's unbelievable. Quincy Jones, music titan. He worked with Frank Sinatra. He worked with Michael Jackson. He was a composer, a songwriter. I mean, a performer. I mean, he could do everything. He was called by Lionel Richie as the master orchestrator. And there was an interview that I was reading that he had given to some magazine where he was talking about the Beatles, and he said that the Beatles couldn't play, and he had this story where he said that they were the worst musicians in the world. There were no playing blinkers, and that Paul was the worst bass player he ever heard, and they had to rip out Ringo's tracks, and so he sent them out to go get something to eat and brought in, he said, Ronnie Verrill, a jazz drummer. Ronnie came in for 15 minutes, tore it up. Ringo comes back and says, George, can you play it back for me one more time? And he goes, that didn't sound bad. And I said, yeah, because it ain't you. Man, so rest in peace, Quincy Jones. We got a lot more on the way, including Brendan Carr, who's going to be joining us from the FCC. Stick with us. I always carry. I'm never going to tell somebody to not carry. I have no problem using lethal force in protection of myself or somebody else. There are instances where you're barred from carrying, and I've given you, these aren't like anecdotal, you know, things. These are, I have friends who live in D.C. and New York, and my friend who lives in D.C., she's a female. She lives and works in D.C., has to per her job. And she, even though she's got one of the very difficult to get licensed to carry in D.C., she can't carry everywhere. And, you know, sometimes she's leaving at work at 11 o'clock at night and she doesn't want to be a statistic. So she went out and got the Byrna SD, which is their best selling model, the most popular one that they have. And the Byrna gun, it deters and stops threats from like, what, 50 feet away, because it shoots these chemical irritant projectiles. And when you compare it to like a stun gun, you got what, maybe one or two shots with a stun gun? You got five rounds with the Byrna SD. So it shoots these chemical irritant projectiles that can disable these threats, and you have an additional option for self-defense. Now, at the website, they have different models, they have different projectiles, accessories, and you can get 10% off when you go through Byrna.com/Dana. And they don't care about gun-free zone signs, the Byrna sign. You can get it shipped right to your door. There's no waiting period. There's no background check. It's legal in all 50 states. And this is great for when your options are limited and not by your choice. Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana for 10% off.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
I love Queen. I love the Radio Gaga song. It's perfect. Welcome back. Dana Lash here with you at the bottom of the second hour. I feel like this day is just like blitzed by. It's insane. We're all just hanging on. And then over the weekend, we saw Kamala Harris goes on SNL Saturday night, right? Saturday Night Live. Don't know how many people watch it. And it seemed as though that was a little weird because Trump didn't get an invite. And I, you know, I'm not an FCC commissioner or anything, but it just seemed like that was not fair. And it kind of violated that equal time law, which is exactly what apparently happened, because then they did a make good with Trump and they gave him what, ad time for Sunday Night Football. I don't know how that all works. Is that a fair trade? Like, when does, is that like okay? And then they dust their hands off and it's done. This is why we wanted to bring on our good friend Brendan Carr. And I'm so glad that we can say that, because if ever I find myself in trouble, which I'm an angel, we all know that, and I never will be in trouble, being that he is a commissioner with the Federal Communications Commission, I can hopefully, maybe fingers crossed, go to him. He was previously general counsel of the FCC. He joins us now via Skype. Good to see you, sir. Thank you so much for joining us. Tell me how this works. So, I understand the equal time thing, but does it have to be like the exact same time if they try to make it, like, does this mean that SNL's now, NBC's in the clear because Trump got an ad on Sunday? Does that how it works and it all goes away? And it just seems like a weird trade.
You're right. It doesn't have to be the identical program. What the rule says, it has to be comparable time. That's easy. You basically stopwatch these things. But the second piece of it is comparable placement, and that's a sort of contextual, fact-based thing. Does a appearance on NASCAR and NFL football, is that comparable to the very last SNL? That could be an issue brought before the FCC. But to your point, just weeks ago, Lorne Michaels, NBC, SNL came out and said they weren't going to have any candidates on SNL precisely because, in their words, they didn't think they could do it consistent with the FCC's equal time rule. Now, look, we've got a lot of weird, arcane rules at the FCC. This one's actually pretty straightforward, which is if you give free airtime and use of your facilities to one candidate, you need to make that available to all opposing candidates. So also, this is important. It's not just the Trump campaign. It's the Jill Stein campaign. It's the RFK Jr. campaign. All of them have rights triggered for RFK Jr. Maybe it's just in the states where he's still on the ballots. I'm not sure exactly off the top of my head, but they should all be seeking to vindicate their rights right now. Also in Virginia, where I am right now, Hung Cao's running for office here, and Tim Kaine's running for office here, and Tim Kaine also got an appearance on SNL that triggers an equal time right there too.
That's very interesting. There, it seemed as, I mean, for me, it seemed like they were definitely trying to put their finger on the scale of things. And it seems like it was one of those, they knew it was wrong, and they did it anyway, thinking that maybe because there are more Democrats on the FCC than Republicans, then it would just be shrugged off?
This is what it looks like to me. NBC clearly knew the rule. It appears that they attempted to jam the opposing candidates, and they figured that they could get away with it. And why do they figure that? Well, to your point, you know, this is the exact same commission that just weeks ago waved on by and created a special Soros shortcut for Soros-backed group to buy 200 radio stations. So maybe they think there won't be consequences. But look, even, you know, the Democrat FCC chair under President Obama spoke up on this in 2015 when candidate Trump and candidate Harris were going back and forth on SNL. He was clear, equal time is on the books. We're going to enforce it. And so I think it's important for the FCC's own credibility that we do this. And if we need to take enforcement action here, which is a possibility, we need to put every remedy on the table, because we need to make sure that people are not thumbing the scale for Republicans or Democrats. Remember, broadcasters have a special privilege, a license, and that comes with an obligation to serve the public interest, not just a narrow interest. That's why equal time applies there, but not on podcasts or to the person on the street.
Yeah, if we have somebody on during that, crucial, you know, period leading up to an election, the equal time, because we're not just digital, we're also, you know, in stations across the country, it applies to us too. I had to watch a video about that. I know all about that. I'm actually an expert now. Watched a video. Yep. So we're talking with Brendan Carr with the FCC via Skype. So what is the, for people who don't know, what's the penalty then? What, or if there is a penalty levy, that's even if there is one, what would that look like for NBC?
What I've said is we need to keep every single option on the table at this point. And the FCC's range of remedies go from, you know, slap on the wrist, nothing, to substantial fines, to in egregious cases, license revocations. And not saying or calling for any one particular remedy at this point, but I think we can't rule out any remedy until we get to the bottom. And look, at its core, we've seen a lot of issues recently with trust in media. You know, even Jeff Bezos came out and said that media has fallen below Congress in terms of trust. And I think the FCC enforcing this rule maybe goes a small way to addressing some of that media bias and holding people to account, the equal time to operate in the public interest. It's tricky, right? We don't want to be micromanaging this stuff. We don't want to be the speech police, but there are still some different rules that apply to broadcasters as compared to podcasters or cable channels.
It sounds like you're not entirely confident, though, that your fellow commissioners on the FCC, the people who are on the other end of the other side of the aisle, are going to do anything.
Well, my fellow Republican colleague, Commissioner Simonton, has spoken out on this exact issue. He and I are on the same page. It's been largely crickets from the other side of the aisle. But look, we'll see. Democrats on the FCC have spoken up before. It's a black letter law. To your point, it seems like NBC is attempting to try to cure this by providing some free airtime, and we'll see if that ends up being comparable. There could be fights at the FCC about that. There's also this thing called the 7-day rule, where opposing candidates are supposed to get 7 days to decide whether to exercise their equal time right, because maybe they need to cut an ad, maybe they need to prepare, maybe they need to do their hair. Our rule doesn't say that you need to make a snap judgment about whether to exercise a right or lose it, but because NBC sort of snuck this in 50 hours before Election Day started, it's a complicated situation right now.
See, I have to get licenses if I have a certain type of drone that can fly a certain height. Yep. But, you know, NBC can do stuff like this. This is what gets me. This is why elections matter. So last question for you. We're talking with Brendan Carr with the FCC. You and I, we've spoken many times about, you know, the FCC has been, you know, reshaped a little bit now that we got Biden Harris, and it's quite different, looks quite different from what it was under the Trump administration. If you have a Harris win on Tuesday, I'm curious as to what that would look like, because I feel like Democrats are flirting with fairness doctrine and reintroducing all sorts of regulation, and not just with broadcast, but also with digital. What do you see that looking like?
Well, I've had the chance to serve at the FCC under lots of different presidents, from Biden to Trump all the way to Obama. I actually had hair when I started at the FCC 12 years ago.
They made you stress.
Yeah. As a Hatch Act matter, obviously I can't sort of weigh in on the election, but I'll say this, as a policy matter, we need to change course. And whether it's Biden over the next couple months or Harris or Trump, we need to change direction, because we're falling behind right now. You know, we've spent all this money trying to do infrastructure builds. In most cases, it's not going anywhere. But even where it is, you know, we're not doing permitting reform. So that's like stepping on the gas and the brakes at the same time. So we need to start moving out, you know, more airways, which is the spectrum that powers 5G and other innovations. We need to do permitting reform. We need to go faster in terms of supporting our space economy, whether it's Elon Musk, Starlink, or Amazon's Kuiper. There's a lot as a policy matter that we need to do to just unleash more economic growth in the country. And I hope we do it sooner rather than later.
That's a huge issue, permitting reform. I don't think enough people, I mean, they do when it hits them, but they don't. Enough people don't pay attention to that. Brendan Carr with the FCC, we appreciate you speaking out about this. And thank you so much for bringing some clarity to it. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks much.
Of course. And that is a huge issue. And we had, Kana, you and I both as broadcasters, we've had to watch videos. So we're experts. So we would be told, oh, it's, you know, within this, you know, period. And if you have on this candidate, then you have to bring on this candidate too. But it's weird because none of them actually exercise. I never did it, but I thought about it and yet thought about having like different candidates on, because when I just did local radio, oh, the left at first wanted to come on, and then it was a debate and they didn't want to come on anymore. They never exercise it really after that. But with something like this, with, you know, SNL and the cultural, you know, Zeitgeist, and then you've got, you know, NBC and football and NASCAR. I mean, then it becomes, you know, it's a little different because it's a part of your culture, not just, you know, it's something that hits beyond the political sphere. And it becomes a little bit more, you know, you fight over that territory a little bit more. But yeah, we had to watch all that. I mean, everybody knows. I don't even think that you know that, regardless if you're in broadcasting. Everybody knows that.
And it's not a coincidence they chose the last Saturday before the election, knowing they couldn't give Trump equal time after that.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, it's all intentional.
It was all on purpose, all by design. And it's just, but how many people actually watch SNL, though?
I don't know. I have to look at the Nielsen.
I mean, it's
ratings.
Been on Funny for a really long time.
That is true.
So I don't know. Like if you had to have airtime on SNL or Sunday Night Football, what would you pick? I think football is going to get more eyeballs.
I'd say football, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Football is going to get way more eyeballs. Whereas SNL, you're just going to have a bunch of snotty people who don't vote. Let's be honest. But does anybody watch it? I don't even think younger generations watch it. You know what it is? It's disaffected Gen Xers. That's what it is. Those are the only people that watch it. The dumbest part of Gen X is they're only people that watch SNL anymore. Nobody watches it. I don't know. So we have a number of things coming up, including what potentially could an electoral college map look like tomorrow. We're experimenting with some. We're going to look at that. And also some of the latest with early voting, because there's some nervousness emerging from Democrats. And it seems like, especially in some of these battleground states, they seem to be nervous with the number of early votes that are coming in, particularly in urban communities and with women. Although at the same time, it also could be a red herring. They could also be just doing it to the, I don't know. I don't trust anything right now. Neither should you. And ready-wise, it's more important than ever to take charge of your own safety and well-being. I mean, good heavens, we've seen natural disasters and all kinds of stuff that have been taking place. And you never want to go to the store to try to get food for your family and all the shelves are stripped and then you're like, what are we going to eat? So you can always be prepared with ReadyWise. In fact, visit ReadyWise.com, use promo code Dana20 at checkout and get 20% off of your entire purchase. And you can get free and fast shipping on most orders, so your provisions will reach you promptly. They have a 72-hour food kit, buy one, get one, $100 in value for $50. It includes two boxes, 12 pouches of premium survival food, and you get all of your calorie intake that you need for the day. Each day, it has each serving pack has 260 calories, 6 grams of protein, 20% of your daily carbs. So it's comfort in a crisis and beyond. And you can also take it, like, you know, if you're not just survival, but maybe you're going hunting or camping or something like that. 25-year shelf life. Visit ReadyWise.com. Use promo code Dana20 at checkout for 20% off of your entire purchase. That's ReadyWise.com. Promo code Dana20 for 20% off.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
A Florida man was arrested after explosive devices were found in a casino toilet. Brian Eckley, 46, of Tampa, was arrested on October 30th, charged with two counts of making and placing destructive devices with the intent to harm. He was arrested. They were two radio-controlled explosive devices in the toilets of a casino. And Tampa Bay special agent in charge said he did everything he could to hide from law enforcement, but they were able to find him. They said it was that he hid them. The employees found them before they could actually cause any damage. They didn't name the casino. But Tampa Bay Times says it was a Hard Rock Casino. So I don't know. Like, why though? I mean, out of all the, they never actually said, they just said, you know, whether, you know, obviously it was designed to harm innocent people, but like, for what purpose? That's oddly specific. Yeah, what is the motive of this? I got some questions. Yeah. Deputies are searching for the family of an unidentified toddler just left at a Florida daycare. This is horrible. It's in Broward County. They're trying to find the family of a young girl who was left at daycare. Her name is Malaya, and she was dropped off at Panda Little Academy in one morning, and then no one came to pick her up. They think she's around 2 to 3 years old, and the guy who dropped her off was driving a dark-colored vehicle. They released photos of the girl, hoping that and the man hoping that somebody might recognize them. Nobody recognized them, though. So they're saying called Broward, their Broward County, Florida special, their special victims unit, because they're the people who are handed. But that's horrible. Like, it's not just dropped her off. She's a sweet little girl. Looks super sweet and cute. And they just dropped her off and never came back to get her. What in the world? Like, I don't know. But hopefully that gets resolved, and hopefully they can either find her family or put her with someone who would love to have a little girl. Like, good people. Florida's convicted killer clown was released from prison. This is a headline. For the murder of her husband's then wife. Okay. So she dressed as a clown and then murdered the wife of a man that she later married. This is like if Shudder and Lifetime got together and made a movie, it would be this. So it was in Fort Lauderdale. So she dressed up. This was in 1990. She dressed up as a clown and then murdered the wife of this man that she later married. And then she got released from prison on Saturday. I mean, this is a weird story. Her name is Sheila Keen Warren. They released her 18 months after she pled guilty to second-degree murder for the shooting of Marlene Warren. And she said she was innocent the whole time. She spent 12 years in prison and sentenced to 12 years. But she was in custody for 7 years since her arrest in 2017. But she literally, I mean, dressed up as an actual clown. And they said that Marlene Warren's son and his friends were at home. They saw somebody dressed as a clown ring the doorbell. He said that when his mom answered, the clown handed her some balloons, and she responded, "How nice." And then the clown pulled out a gun and shot her in the face and then ran away. Jeez. And they like for a long time suspected this Keen Warren lady of doing it. But it wasn't until she was arrested 27 years later that they improved DNA testing, tied her to evidence that was found in the getaway car. And so she was an employee of Marlene Warren's husband at his used car lot. And she's been his wife. And that apparently their witnesses said that they were having an affair, and she denied it and all kinds of stuff. But this is wild. Like, what in the world is this? This is a crazy story. That sounds pretty messed up. Like, she went through to dress as a clown, hand her balloons, and then shoot her and run away. And she's out now. Can you really get over being that clown, killer clown? I don't know.
But how are you the guy and marrying her?
Like, well, if they were having an affair.
But knowing what she did?
Yeah, I would be. See, sometimes that's when I feel like he's not thinking with his head, the guy.
Right.
Because knowing that this chick that you married dressed up as a clown and shot the mother of your children. She will murk you in your sleep, dude.
Right.
She dressed up as a clown to do this. So I don't know. I don't know. He got convicted of grand theft, racketeering, and odometer tampering. He was in prison for 4 years. And then his attorney said it was disproportionately long because people suspected him of being involved in his wife's death. I think that he was in on it, personally, if you ask me.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, because you go off and marry the chick. It's just wild. Just wild. I don't know. Clowns can be scary enough. If you've ever seen Poltergeist. Poltergeist ruined it. It's really, you know. This 66-year-old Pensacola man, he served for bank robbery before, got out of prison and was like, you know what, it's time to relive the olden days, and decided to rob a bank again. It was the Regions Bank on South Ferdinand Boulevard in Florida. And he was wearing a fluorescent yellow safety vest, a large straw hat, and a face mask so he can be more easily identifiable when fleeing. And police were, they got him, of course, and he's going to be extradited back to Okaloosa. So he's going back to the pokey. Stick with us. We got more in store. Third hour next.
I would say, of course, Again, I think perhaps it's certainly not going to be like it was in 2020. It's not going to be about 2 or 3 or 4 days coming out of Philadelphia. And I'd like to say Al Schmidt, who he was the hero in Pennsylvania in 2020 out of Philadelphia as a Republican, and now he's in charge of all that process here in Pennsylvania. So, you know, we have the right guy for the right time, and then I do believe he's going to deliver an honest, true reflection of the Pennsylvania voters, their will.
So John Fetterman says, yeah, it's not going to take for forever. I don't know where y'all are getting this. It's not going to happen. I hope not, because we've lived this. I'm going to tell you something. The fates gave us an extra hour. Or no, do we fall back? Yeah, we got an extra hour of this election cycle on Sunday. You guys didn't know that. You woke up Sunday morning and you slept through another hour of it. I don't want it to be extended because they can't get it counted. Welcome back to the program. Top of this third hour, Dana Lash with you. It's election eve. And I'm not going to get into speculation, but if they can't get their stuff counted and situated beforehand, a lot of voters in a lot of different areas, especially the ones that are struggling with this, there needs to be a reckoning for people. There really does. A few other things. Let's fire off some audio here. Let's listen to Tuck Chod on the 2024 elections. Go ahead.
Well, look, I the fascinating aspect of this is neither party is going to be satisfied. They're not going to accept defeat. The question is, do you accept defeat because you don't like the vote count, or do you not accept defeat because you don't like how the party did it, right? My greatest fear about this election is if Trump wins, I think it, for a generation, is what they believe this is how you conduct yourself in politics, and that this will cement this for a generation. I fear the transactional nature of him could actually turn the party into a kleptocracy if we're not careful.
I've got two words. Hunter Biden. Right. I have one word. Cocaine. I have an acronym, CCP. I mean, shall I go on? I have one more word. Laptop. I have another word. Artiste. Seriously? How are you going to be saying that when you got the first son coked out of his mind, spit painting as a way to launder money? What are you doing? How are you doing this? How are you even saying that with a straight face? Tuck Chod. Can't even deal. This is I can't. This is so unbelievably frustrating. I wanted to switch gears and show you. This is audio sent by 29. I saw this. This woman, her name's Annette Catching. Isn't she like the head of the Virginia? She's like a committee person. She was a committee person with the Virginia GOP. So she's in a restaurant with other women. And these other two chicks, these broads, they are sitting by her. And I guess they overheard her conversation. One of the women in Annette's party was wearing a Trump hat. And the white Marxist that sat next to them, because Annette and her friends, it's very important to the left, are black, as we'll see. And then one of the women, the broads that sat down, is overhearing their conversation and then decides to interrupt them and get involved when she heard them speaking favorably about the former president. And this is wild. Watch this. This is 29. She at one point, and we could keep the video going, she stands up and like actually gets in the other Annette's face. And then Annette stands right back up to her. And then one of the men come over and is like, ladies, and then acts like he's addressing Annette with us. Those women started it. The full video is online. Those women started it because Annette and her friends, and one of them I think had, a MAGA hat on. And I guess the other chicks were listening to them talking, and they decided to butt in to their conversation, decided to get into their conversation. And apparently the lady that she was arguing with, she's on the internet. Is this a correct one? Because someone doxed the wrong person this weekend. Patty Morrissey. Of course, she used to work for the federal government, and she's retired, and she apparently thinks very highly of herself. And she was harassing Annette Catchings. She was the black woman in the video endorsed by the GOP for Alexandria City Council. And yeah, she was very upset over it. And why do you have to justify what you think to someone sitting in the restaurant next to you? I think the social media rule should apply for this, because I'll be on social media. Like, I had somebody mad at me because they said that I didn't tweet enough about the jobs report. Kane, how much time do we and I'm like, oh my gosh, some rando's upset because I didn't use, I don't live on X because of jackwagons like that. I mean, go out and touch grass. These people who live such isolated little lives that they think that the only stuff that happens on X, and that if it doesn't happen on X, it didn't happen. And I'm like, I'm sorry. You don't get to tell me how to use X. Bye. Get away from me, you nut. And I just muted him and let him scream into the ether. But I think that needs to apply to actual meat space conversations, because I'll hear stuff from people all the time. I mean, obviously in restaurants that I don't agree with, but I'm there either eating food or meeting friends, something. You know, I just live my life. That lady could not live her life. She had to get involved in Annetta's business. I mean, I think, and Annetta, I think very generously was giving her time. I don't know if I would have been that nice right off the bat, Kane. I think I would have been like, who TF is you? Get out of my business. I just have zero tolerance. Would you have, Kane would have though. Kane would have debated that lady until that lady threw herself through the window.
I would have kindly done it. Kill him with kindness.
Kane, when he wants to, can turn into Colin Robinson from What We Do in the Shadows with people he doesn't like. I've watched it happen. Like, he'll be entertaining someone that's clearly ridiculous. And he, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. That, yeah.
Yes.
He energy vampires them. It's crazy.
I watch you
flip a switch.
I find it's more fun doing that.
Oh my gosh.
I can't be angry at other people.
No, I just don't have, I just am like, nope. Nope. I need to save my brain space for other more important things. Exactly. I can't. There's too many things. Too many things to juggle. But yeah, that's just crazy. I mean, who does that stuff? Look, I'm leading into 32. I don't even like the Kelseys. I don't follow the Kelce brothers. They seem like nice enough people. The Jason Kelce, he's the one who's not the Travis is the one who dates Taylor, right? And Jason Kelce and his wife, they're okay. So I don't know where he was. He had a beer in his hand and he's walking and someone calls him the F word. It's like maggot, but with an F. Okay. And they said that your brother's dating Taylor. He's such a blank, right? And then Jason Kelce turns around, grabs the phone that the person's recording him with, slams it to the ground, and then looks right at him and goes, who's the blank now? Doesn't spill a drop of his beer. Audio number 32, you got to watch this.
Kelce, Kelce, Kelce.
Hey, Kelce.
Kelce.
I feel your brother's f***ing Taylor.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Kelce, can I get a fist bump? Kelce, can I get a fist bump?
Uh-oh. And so another video, because there's like a million different angles of this thing. There's another video that's like right up and he throws it down on the ground, like breaks it, and then looks at the dude and goes, who's the blank now? And it doesn't even spill, and then keeps walking, doesn't even spill his beer. It's hysterical. I actually am not mad at him for this. I'm not a Swiftie, heavens no. I'm not mad at him for this because I think that sometimes there ought to be consequences for people who are stupid and do stupid stuff like this. You know what I mean? Like, what is it that Mike Tyson said? A lot of people run their mouths on social media because they didn't get punched in it or something like that. Hang on. I'm going to look this quote up because I feel like this should be on a shirt. Yeah, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. But he also said, "What didn't he say something like people run their mouths on social media or something like that? And there's no basically there's no consequence for it ever. And then you get situations like this. I got to tell you, if I was a police officer, I'd be like, I saw no crime committed here. What are you talking about, fair citizen? I didn't see anything. What? Right? Was he in the wrong? I don't think he was in the wrong. I don't think he was in the wrong. I don't. I mean, he gets called. Yeah, there's all the different angles of it. All the different angles of it. Yeah, but
outside of the destruction of someone else's property thing.
I just feel like, you know what? That guy FA'd and he FO'd.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Destruction of someone's property. Like, the guy was like angling for a fight. I'm very old school. Like, I am very old school. Like, I believe people don't get punched in the mouths enough. I really don't believe that. I don't believe that they do. And one of the reasons why people say such stupid things and they're so ignorant to people is because there's no consequence for it. It's protected. Be the bigger person. Okay, I can be the bigger person by beating you. Look at me being the bigger person.
So in this instance, would a punch to the face have been better than smashing the phone?
No, I would have totally broken the phone.
Or would both? Yeah.
I don't know that I would have responded, but I don't judge him for doing it.
Right.
Because, you know, it's kind of nice to see these little trolls get a comeuppance. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because I kind of want to see both. I kind of want to see him slam the phone, which he did. Totally cool with that.
Yeah.
And then punch him in the face.
I wanted to see the Accutane fly out of his skin pores because he got hit so hard. The dude who was doing this. That's what I wanted to. Anyway.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, goodness. 2024's most popular internet slang words have been revealed. I hate you. No cap. It's a real thing. So, the most popular, this is according to Newsweek, or per Newsweek. I know what skibbity is.
You
but
do,
this is what they say. This is literally the first sentence. Has your 2024 been cats? Or have you been plagued by too many skibbity videos? Are you too sigma to care if your preen thinks you're demure? Did any of that make sense? Well, they just discovered demure, the alpha people, right? And, you know, I don't know what this means. So those are some of the new slang terms. So like slay, that's old. Yeet is old. Riz is new. It's like how when we say legit or something's legit, right. Something like that. I don't know. But yeah, it's those are the new. Demure, sigma. I don't even know what sigma means. Sobriquet, how is that? That's an actual word. How is that? These are stupid people. You're stupid. Some of these are words already. I'm done. I hate everything. Where's the asteroid? Bring it. Moving on. A misspelled name caused a man to sit in a Cook County morgue for 6 weeks, say the family. Oh boy, speaking of names. A family says that their son, according to Ruthie McKinney, her and her family are furious because her son, Kelvin Davis, was in the morgue for 6 weeks and they had no idea. He went missing. She was giving descriptions. She gave his name. And they're like, we don't have anybody of that name here. They filed a missing persons report. He had a tattoo of Love Mom in bold black letters on his arm, but they said if they had not made mention of that, they never would have found him. That's kind of crazy. And apparently they identified him as Kevin and not Kelvin. You wouldn't think, though, that someone would be like, do you mean Kevin Davis? You know, if you're looking at the names, do you have a Kelvin Davis? What about a Kevin Davis? Have you ever done that? Like reservations or anything like that? We have a weird last name, so sometimes, you know. I don't know. It just feels like that could have been easily remedied. A man demands answers after opening a 625 count of Q-tips. 625. He said that the Q-tips are less sturdy than they were 2 years ago. He opened and said they don't make them like they used to. And it was basically just like he was comparing them and they look like, I don't know, like they're
the Q-tip version of shrinkflation.
Yeah, they're like little tiny and they can, like, you look at them and they bend in half and break under the weight of your gaze. So everything's getting hit by shrinkflation. You know what? We're going to have a black market for Q-tips. That's what's going to happen. That's coming up. All right. Also coming up, our friend Stephen Yates next. Stick with us.
Not able to catch all 3 hours of The Dana Show? Subscribe to the full podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, bottom of this third hour. It's election eve. And I was just saying, it feels like we're just like hanging on by our teeth at this point. Everything's just so crazy and chaotic. We're also along for the ride, but we're going to help guide you along the way. So I was reading this piece. Let me pull this up. There's every now and then, and this was a piece that I've had, and I referenced this. I saved this. I bookmarked it. It was from September of last year. Because now Europe has made an announcement, the EU Commission, that they are putting in place tariffs that are going to go after China for the subsidy of the EV industry. And I hate EVs, as you guys know this, and I hate China's monopoly on all the EV stuff, which is exactly what the Green New Deal was just going to go ahead and strengthen and beef up China even more. And the EU last fall announced that they were investigating all of this into the car industry in China. They were looking at these subsidies of these vehicles, and because China was really looking as for a way, I think, to gain further toehold, especially like with the auto industry and going into Europe. I know that they've been doing this a lot with Italy, etc. So they've now the investigation's done. The EU announced the tariffs range from 17% to as high as 45%. And this is their, I don't think China likes this too much. This, and I have a million other headlines. It's a weird day. Let's go ahead and bring in our good friend Stephen Yates, who is probably one of like the calmest, coolest heads I think that's out there. It's like almost, it's spooky. He's so calm and cool and collected. Our very good friend, he's a senior research fellow at the Heritage Institute. He smiles like that, but that smile underlies a steelish demeanor. It's so good to see you, my friend. What do you make of this? Because it's the EU, right? And the EU is a soft, weak entity. And the fact that they're getting tough like this on China over EV subsidies kind of shocked me, frankly. I was not expecting this move from them. I thought they're going to conduct this investigation. Nothing's going to come of it. And then now they're like, no. Here are the tariffs and we're going to go after them. Where did that come from?
Well, I've always seen this as sort of big versus small, old versus new in Europe, where the old and the big are the ones that have accommodated Russia economically and have ingratiated China economically. And it's the new parts of Europe that still have a conscience, know what communism really was, and are also victims in this. I think we talked some time back when I took a couple of trips to Eastern Europe, and it was a very different conversation about China there than if you were in London, Paris, or other parts of old Europe, because the Eastern Bloc does a lot of the spare parts and the hard manufacturing for the auto industry that's in Germany and elsewhere. And this EV push from China is double murder against them. It basically takes away all of the supply chain for internal combustion engine spare parts that is a massive backbone of their economy. But then the Chinese are heavily subsidizing this. So this is not market prices. This is not free trade. This is dumping. And so it's a double whammy. So I think the new parts of Europe finally got the old parts of Europe to say, ooh, this is actually a bad deal.
Yeah.
And you finally got to stand up for something.
I saw that the sport luxury cars, their sales are plummeting in China. Luxury goods overall sales are plummeting in China. And wasn't there this narrative that, and I just saw, I know that there were a lot of Chinese influencers out there posting themselves, like posting photos of themselves with luxury items. And look how successful we are in the CCP with our Louis Vuitton and here with our Aston Martin and all of that. But now, I mean, those sales have taken a huge hit. I think it's the big, it's Salma Hayek's husband's company, their family company. They reported like a huge drop in sales in China. And they own like Hermès, they own Louis Vuitton, all of those labels. They said that China's not buying anymore. Is this, because we were told their economy's great. Their economy's great. Look at what their influencers are posting. Everything's just coming up roses over in CCP land. But apparently not if you go by all of the things that they brag about. It's not selling. And this is part of it.
Yeah, it's just been a long education process for people to realize it's not a normal economy there. And there's two things happening at once. One is they are actually having some economic problems. They have demographic change, which is a fancy word of saying they have fewer people over time. And they also have systemic problems in their economy. But their citizens have known that their markets are fake and corrupt. And so if they wanted to find safe harbor for their savings, they put it into property. And their property market is in a massive bubble that is in the process of bursting. Commercial real estate and residential real estate. And so the safe harbor for people's life savings has a huge question mark on it. So a lot of Chinese people are in a panic about this. It's not legal for them to offshore their money, but they're trying to any way they can. The property market is no longer a good investment or a safe harbor for them. They can't trust the banks. Those are run by politicals. And yeah. So there's a bit of a panic going on. So the shine is off of the experiment, but it's taken a long time for the geniuses around the world to face this reality.
I love that they thought it would take any other way, that it would end any other way. I mean, we all saw this coming because we can do math. You tweeted this out, and I read this earlier today, too. This is over at the Washington Post. The headline is, Americans, your calls and texts can be monitored by Chinese spies. This is crazy. So there are Chinese hackers that are linked to Beijing's Ministry of State Security that can get into the private wiretapping and surveillance system that all of these like US-based telecom companies that we've built and said that it's only going to be like federal law enforcement. Only those agencies are going to use it. And now we see that US carriers could be vulnerable to CCP surveillance. This is what somebody else had kicked up a story that talked about security backdoors and how the federal government was trying to push those, require those through regulation into everything and wanted telecom to put into that all our devices, all of our services. And they fought, Silicon Valley fought back on that. I'm kind of glad they did because this is crazy. It would have been so much worse. Are they watching our searches? Like, because I've been searching for cute holsters and that's what they're going to find with me.
Well, whatever you've been searching for, they know. And so that's been commercialized for a long time. But now people are figuring out that it's being used by governments, foreign and domestic, too. And it's really a simple proposition. If there is a backdoor, then that backdoor is findable somehow. And hackers are in the business of finding those kinds of things. And so our government systems, we've known, have had backdoors and vulnerabilities. That's how my information and millions of other formerly cleared national security officials had their information disclosed through an Office of Personnel Management and Budget hack a decade plus ago. And so there's any kind of a system, there's a backdoor. So yes, there was a national security concern about terrorists and other people having encrypted communications, being able to get away with stuff. But we have a massive dilemma about how do we allow for access to the 1 in a billion communications that might be national security related without exposing the 99%+ of private lives that ought to have privacy?
That's a really good point. A very good point. Talking with our friend Stephen Yates at Yates Comms on X. So how could this, I mean, obviously, I know that you were telling us, like a decade or so ago, how this information was gotten and used. How could this, who all could they go after with this sorts of information? Because apparently, according to Washington Post, they were saying that some of the targets included senior U.S. government officials, major business leaders. So I guess they think that they're going to, search for something lacking propriety and use that as blackmail. Like, how would they weaponize this?
It doesn't even have to be spycraft where you're trying to control an asset. It could be as simple as, say, a politician turned secretary of state using a private email server for official communication. All of a sudden, that becomes exposable. And you would be able to tell what was going on with people. If you have government officials who are text messaging friends or family, you might be able to learn some vulnerabilities or points of pressure or times when they're not available. If this person has been a problem in negotiation, you'd rather deal with their deputy, find out when that family crisis is happening and end up negotiating with the deputy. There's all kinds of ways our communications can be used in ways you wouldn't think is the old fashioned spycraft of how can I blackmail someone. It's
malware.
How to gain an advantage. And the Chinese have unlimited resources to do that.
They could introduce malware.
Tons of it. And not for nothing, my public safety announcement is go ahead and spend the money and change your phone out as often as you can afford to do so. I can personally attest to having a much more efficient phone every time that happens. And even though I try to have best practices, who knows who is embedding crud in your system. And so this is just one of those things where we're in a wild frontier and Americans have to fight to protect their privacy.
So how compromised, and this is what I think of, how compromised is our infrastructure, our telecom infrastructure as a result?
Well, until we end up with the right kind of majority in the right commissions, and I know Brendan Carr is a friend of the show, he's a friend of mine too, and he's if we have more leaders like him leading on tech and communication policy, then without that much time passing and a little better investment and deregulation, we're in good shape. Because there's new hard assets, whether it's the satellites that are going up, alternative communication networks. And if we can get those who had access to the airways for free to use them legally, the way they were licensed to do so, we'll all be in a better place. But all this assumes that we have referees that are going to call balls and strikes fairly.
Yeah.
And if we don't have that at home, we can't expect bad guys to play any more fair than our own referees at home will.
Last question for you, and this is kind of a 30,000 foot view of things because we have the election tomorrow.
I've heard.
Well, it's kind of crazy. I've been hearing about it. I maintain. I think China's our biggest, I'm obsessive about it, geopolitical foe. And I don't think enough attention spent on it. That said, depending on how the elections turn out tomorrow, because you know they're watching this just as closely, if not closer than many people here are. What does China do in the days following a Trump victory versus a Harris victory, you think?
Well, number one, if they see a Trump victory, then I think that they sit back and they watch very, very carefully because they're uncertain about what might be coming their way. My firm belief is that a Trump victory leads to an American revival where hard power in America is resuscitated. Everything from economic to social to what have you, there's no more this narrative America in decline and China on the rise. America's back on the rise. And they have to recalibrate if they're in Beijing because it's a different kind of challenge for them. If Harris wins, I think that they might just push ahead for, say, forcing a Taiwan to have to negotiate terms, forcing a Ukraine to have to settle for less, forcing Israel to settle for being less than an equal partner and ally in the challenges they have in the Middle East. I think that there's a lot of the world that is watching and they see one side that is going to upset things, but to put them back in the way that favors the United States. And they see another side where they know that they can push their weight around and find advantage.
Boy, oh boy, a lot of things decided tomorrow. Stephen Yates at Yatescom, so appreciate you always joining us. Thank you so much for being so generous with your time. It's good to see you.
Thank you, Dana. Take care.
Of course, you too. We have more to come as we wrap up this third hour. Election Eve, telling you what, craziness as we move. Our partners, good folks. Over at Caltech P15. You need to go get some now. Might as well. I'm just saying.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized, informative episodes perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
So in Ohio, the Senate between Moreno and Brown, it's virtually tied, but Moreno has a 0.4 lead. Dude. The Republican challenger to Sherrod Brown has a 0.4 lead. Everyone go vote. Go vote. Kane and I were just talking about how we, not that we would, but you know, you could go vote in California there without an ID. Yep. Hello, my name is Regina Phalanges. I'm here to cast my vote. Hello, I'm Roberta Phalanges. I'm Regina's twin. I'm also here to vote. My name is T.E.R.D., Ted Ferguson, here to cast my vote in this election.
You do not need an ID.
Yeah, you don't need an ID. How dare you say that I am not who I claim I am, you bigot? See, just very easy. And then they don't want to be called a bigot, so they will cower. And because when you wield that word like an Excalibur to them, they feign and they cringe and they lurk vampires against sunlight. They, oh, and then you can just do whatever you want. Just saying. Not that we would. We have thought about it. But, you know, just saying. Yeah. So I'm looking at electoral maps. I'm doing fun electoral math. So if I put, if I put Pennsylvania, if you have, you know, the battlegrounds, if you're looking at some of these battleground states and you have, if you have Michigan going Dem, Wisconsin going Dem, Minnesota going Dem, if Virginia goes Dem, if New Mexico's Dem, Arizona's red, Nevada's red. I mean, pulling out Pennsylvania and including the 19 toss up, it's 251 to 268. If you add Pennsylvania and put it in the column for Trump, it's 287 to 251. If you put it leans, if you put it to the Democrat, it's 270 to 268. And now I'm going to jump off my roof. It's where we're at. Currently, the way it is, the RCP has it 211 to 219 with 108 toss-ups. And they've got Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Georgia, Arizona, Nevada, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan as toss-ups. But I think that it's either, it's going to be Pennsylvania, man, is where I'm, what I'm looking at. I cannot believe Ohio. That's crazy. Sherrod Brown was a very mean man to me one time. Very mean man. And I just asked a very nice, simple question about his tie-breaking vote on health care in the Senate. That's all. So we're going to play Electoral College math tomorrow. Going to have some fun with that. Tomorrow's election day. It's election eve. Tomorrow's election day. And go out and vote. Make sure you are ready to go and vote, whatever it takes. Today in Stupidity, Kane.
All right. It's New York Governor's Kathy Hochul. Apparently, if you don't vote Democrat, you're just anti-everything. You're just anti-everything, including anti-American. Listen to what she says here in public.
It gave me a chance to tie the Republicans running in these seats, the incumbents, closer to Donald Trump, and remind everybody, if you're voting for these Republicans in New York, you are voting for someone who supports Donald Trump, and you're anti-woman, what? You're anti-abortion, what? And basically, you're anti-American,
oh,
because
man.
You have just trashed American values and what our country
that's
is all
the,
about.
Democrats
so if you don't, I mean,
strategy.
It's kind of weird because voting is like the most American thing you can do. So that's really weird that she would say that. I mean, I just think that exercising your vote to vote your choice, your preference is like the most like American thing you can do. But, you know, Kathy Hochul doesn't get it. Tomorrow's election day. Find us on Substack, Chapter and Verse. Sign up. We're at Facebook, YouTube as well. Have a great night. We're back tomorrow.